Old friend of the station, good friend of the show, good friend of, I think, both mine and Eric Kane, and that's Roger Hoover of the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Roger, good morning. How are things down in Alabama?
Hey, guys. Things are going really well, and thank you for having me on. As I tweeted a moment ago, you know, it's always an honor to come back on this station for what it's meant to me in my life. I used to string up the computer speakers as loud as I could during SEC media days, play NCAA football on Xbox, and listen to John and Jimmy while they were down in Hoover, Alabama for media days every year. And then I eventually got to be a board op. And as I mentioned, I was the worst board op in the history of the station. So it's kind of an honor to be on the hotline and not be screwing anything up today.
See, I still work the boards here, so I doubt that. I'm still employed. You couldn't have been the worst, Roger.
It's not a high bar to be, or it's not a particularly low bar at
some
point.
That is true.
You guys, as you're a game day host for the Crimson Tide Sports Network, getting to know that program very well. We know about the Nick Saban streak against assistant coaches. I think that's not blown out of proportion, but it's been beat to death. My most impressive streak, as I look at the Alabama game notes. Alabama's won 28 straight games against teams from the SEC East, including in the SEC Championship game. That is a remarkable run that the Crimson Tide's on right now.
Yeah, it really is. And when you look at their last loss, it was kind of a fluky loss to that Stephen Garcia-led South Carolina team back in 2010. And then the year before, undefeated season in 2009, and then they went through the regular season undefeated in 2008, just lost to Florida in the championship game that year. So it has just been utter domination, and it's kind of head-scratching at times, and you always think that Georgia's about to take that next step, but then you get to the second half of the game and you realize it's still Georgia football, what they did against Alabama. And I don't see the streak ending with Georgia later in the year if they were to meet again in the SEC championship game. I think Saturday will be interesting for a lot of reasons between Alabama and Tennessee, just because I think anytime you get to a matchup like this where on paper it looks maybe a little one-sided, crazy things can happen, and that's happened a lot in this rivalry before. So who knows? Saturday may turn out to be a more interesting day than we have planned right now.
Hey, Roger, of course, you know, Tua Tagovailoa was, you know, the best quarterback in college football for a couple of years, and now he's getting a start with the Dolphins. But, you know, when he went out with injury last year, Mac Jones stepped in, and Bron and I have talked about how we were impressed with him last year and thought he was going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC this year. And so far, so good. He is playing out of his mind right now. You're close to that football program. You see him practice. You see him play a lot more than us. You know, how good is Mac Jones, and when did you see early on, even when Tua was still there, that he could be something special?
Well, I think when he had opportunities to know that he was a starter, he was pretty dialed in and pretty good. You know, when Tua got hurt against Tennessee, he came in and was kind of deer in the headlights look a little bit for that game. But then, you know, after that, he looked pretty sharp in the game they played against Arkansas when he kind of knew all week long he'd be the starter. And then against Mississippi State, Tua gets hurt again, and this time it's a real devastating injury. Alabama had a blowout lead at that point right before halftime, and Alabama kind of didn't let Mac do very much in the second half of that game in Starkville. But week after that, looked sharp against Western Carolina, and aside from a few costly mistakes, played a pretty good ball game at Auburn, and then had a really good bowl game against Michigan. So you knew with some time around Coach Sarkisian, and Alabama's finally got some continuity among assistant coaches, which has been something that's kind of hurt Coach Saban in the last few years. Just coordinators keep getting head coaching jobs or keep leaving for the NFL. Now that Coach Sarkisian was able to stay with Mac for an offseason, even without spring practice and your normal summer practice, it just made Mac a lot more confident, and he really likes the wide receivers he's with. You know, Tua was always connecting with Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs III, Devontae Smith, some, yes, but the guys that Mac would play with in some of the blowout games last year were guys like Jalen Waddle or John Mechie, who's turned out to be one of his favorite deep targets. He's third in terms of stats for Alabama and all the receiving numbers behind Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, but Mechie is one of the favorite targets for Mac Jones because they've been basically on that second-string team for the last couple of years, and they have a really good chemistry working with each other. So this year, he's just come out firing. And I think he looks really sharp in the Missouri game, put up the gaudy numbers against Texas A&M, and then he had to put up big numbers against Ole Miss, and then last week was certainly an impressive performance as well against Georgia. He's just throwing the deep ball so well. Alabama's just going down the field and going over the top of the defense with the speed they have, mainly with Smith and Waddle, but Mechie as well. So it's really been interesting to see that evolution from a guy that looked a little shaky when he came in against Tennessee last year to where he is now. I mean, putting up Joe Burrow-like numbers, and he's starting to get some of that Joe Burrow-type recognition.
Talking to Roger Hoover of the Crimson Tide Sports Network here on the EA Show. I want to ask you about Alabama's defense. I think it's maligned probably more than it should be. I'm sure, though, that Nick Saban isn't happy with the point totals that they've allowed. 19 to Missouri, 24 to Texas A&M and Georgia, 48 to Ole Miss. But when they've needed stops, they've gotten them. And it seems from afar a lot of the issues that they have in allowing points is just that that offense has continued on what Tua was doing, quick strike, and then they're right back on the field trying to get stops again.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ryan. I mean, I think they had a tough game against Ole Miss, but I really think it was an anomaly that game. It's just you knew it was going to be a shootout going in. Ole Miss was able to score quickly, and it just kind of never slowed down in that ball game. But you know, some of the numbers against Missouri and Texas A&M, those were a lot of second-half points. And, you know, I saw it a lot last year in the games where Tua was leading the offense to, like you said, those quick scoring drives, and all of a sudden, before you look up, it's like 28-3. And then the team Alabama's playing, they'll eventually make it like 28-10, 28-17, just because that defense is so tired. And it's also young, and it's a defense that has some proven playmakers, but, you know, Dylan Moses is still kind of working his way back from an ACL injury. He's really the brains on the field for that defense, and he's helped make a lot of guys around him better. But the defensive line is certainly continuing to improve. LeBryan Ray has been out with injury. That's a big loss for Alabama if he can't go this week against Tennessee. And then the secondary is really young as well. But the good thing for Alabama fans is, you know, there is a secondaries coach, but the real secondaries coach is Nick Saban. I mean, that's where he spends all of his time at practice. So those guys are getting better. We've seen Malachi Moore with some big interceptions. He's a young guy. Daniel Wright had a pick six against Texas A&M. So there's talent there. There's a lot of NFL talent that's on that roster. But it's just been some weird kind of track meet games so far this year. And I think that's going to be the big focus for Alabama when you look at these next few games against Tennessee and then especially Mississippi State. Now, everyone's keeping the Bulldogs out of the end zone at the moment, but early in the year, everyone kept looking at that game saying, Leach against Saban, that could be an interesting matchup, but we'll see how it goes next week as well as this defense tries to get better as the year goes along to try and get ready for what looks to be another playoff run.
Hey, Roger, how much was it a circus last week on campus? Obviously, it was, you know, around the country when word got out that Nick Saban had tested positive for COVID-19. Of course, he tested out of it and was able to coach against Georgia. But how much of uncertainty was there around, a town and campus? And for the football team, was it just business as usual without their leader there for a couple of days?
Yeah, I think everybody outside the complex was going crazy, and it became a circus atmosphere for everybody outside that building. But inside, it remained relatively calm other than just the initial shock. And I think the person that stayed the most calm during all of it was Coach Saban. He joked with the team on a Zoom meeting when he informed them that he wasn't going to be there for Wednesday's practice. He was joking with the media on Wednesday night, which he doesn't always do. But, you know, he stayed pretty calm. And when Alabama's team doctors thoroughly examined him on Wednesday and Thursday, that's when they got the inkling that this may be a false positive. So from there, Alabama just went to work, making sure they could get those SEC-mandated 3 negative tests to allow Saban to be back on the sidelines. And I think from the exam he had on Thursday morning with the team physician, he started to get a little more confident that he would be able to coach against Georgia because he knew that likely his Thursday result would be negative, and then we saw the negative results Friday and Saturday. So I think there was a quiet confidence within the building that Saban would be back for the game on Saturday, and that's certainly how it turned out. And Alabama went to great lengths to make sure that he was able to coach, even flying a test result from Tuscaloosa to Mobile on a private plane Saturday morning just to make sure that he could be there. And I think it certainly was a psychological boost for the team. But it wasn't, you know, a big dramatic moment where, like, the door swung open and all of a sudden here's Saban and the place goes crazy on Saturday. He just kind of went meeting room to meeting room, said hey, players said hey, and they just went about their business. And I think that speaks a lot to the culture that he has set up at Alabama. It's just very process-oriented. He always talks about the process and doing your job, and he did his job. Players certainly did theirs against Georgia.
Hey, Roger, one more for me, and then I'll be done. Who's the leader of this football team? You can, you know, the leader, and then maybe on both sides of the ball. Who's leading the ship there at Alabama right now?
That's a good question, Eric. I think on defense you have to point to Dylan Moses.
Yeah.
And again, losing him last year, I think, really crippled that defense. I think otherwise that would have been a national championship caliber defense for Alabama and really would have made a difference in the two regular season games they lost to LSU and Auburn. He's definitely the leader of the defense. The offense, I want to say Mac Jones. I think he started to develop more as a leader over the offseason with some of the buzz that was going around about how well he was doing in the workouts because, you know, a lot of Alabama fans, like Tennessee fans, you know, you're always impressed by the shiny new toy, that freshman quarterback. And Alabama fans certainly were when they signed Bryce Young, who was an early enrollee, who's drawn a lot of comparisons to Kyler Murray. You know, a lot of Alabama fans spent most of the offseason. A lot of times when I went on interviews like this, they'd always be like, okay, Mac is going to start, but like, when does Bryce Young take over? Like, yep. Is it around the Tennessee game, Mississippi State? And I'd always be like, I think the team likes Mac a lot. And the players, that's because the players were posting on social media, like pictures of Mac working out and, you know, him going through some of the January conditioning with blood on his face. Sure. I mean, this team likes him. So I'd have to lean towards him. I think Devontae Smith is the other guy. You know, the wide receiver that came back for his senior year would have been a top three rounds draft pick a year ago had he left, but he decided to come back. And, yeah, he's been a fan favorite ever since he caught the game-winning touchdown for the national championship against Georgia his freshman year. So I'd kind of point to those two guys. And then Najee Harris for a lot of the off-the-field movements has been really good. You know, with the We Want to Play initiative, he was involved in that. And then the other guy in the offense I should note as well is Alex Leatherwood, who penned the Black Lives Matter essay that was read by all players on the team, Coach Saban, in a video that's still, if you go to the Alabama football Twitter account, still pinned to the very top of the Twitter account. That video they put together that was eloquently written by Alex Leatherwood. He helped organize the march they had on campus a few weeks ago as well to promote racial equality. So I'd have to point to those guys as leaders.
All right, if one guy that doesn't have first-team All-American next to his name makes a difference in Saturday's game, it is?
Miller Forrest, all the tight end. He has become kind of a quick, easy target for Mac. He's already got 8 catches for over 100 yards this year and a touchdown. I think, you know, that's a guy that is easy to forget about, and Mac knows that with all the attention that, you know, Waddle and Devontae Smith, John Metchie, they have to receive, or otherwise, again, they're just going to go over the top and score quick touchdowns. So I'd go Miller, Forrest, Solomon. I really want to see if Alabama can run the ball on Saturday because Najee Harris has had some good performances for the Tide, had that 5-touchdown game against Ole Miss. But, you know, outside of him, Brian Robinson, Trey Sanders, a couple of running backs, haven't done as much. And I think Alabama's production on the ground has suffered when he's not been in the game. And kind of going into this year, you knew that Najee had to have some help. Especially in some games where you're able to build up a lead and you just need to burn some clock in the third or fourth quarters. You don't always want that to be Najee Harris. So that's, I think, one of those games within the game for Alabama this week is, can they run the ball better? I think that's a big question mark.
Last thing for you, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you a baseball question, particularly being here at Gray Hodges in Sevierville, less than 10 miles from where you cut your baseball teeth at Smokies Park. Game one of the World Series was last night. Do the Rays come back and make this a series, or is it a L.A. Dodgers walkover?
I think the Dodgers are playing with a lot of confidence right now. I think that's going to be tough for the Rays to kind of shut down. You know, now that Cody Bellinger has kind of gotten over his postseason woes and hitting home runs left and right, it's pretty exciting to see what he's doing at the moment. So I don't know. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens over the next few nights. I wouldn't be shocked if the Rays make it a 5 or 6-game series, but just there's so much momentum right now with the Dodgers, and that's a team that's always, when they're playing confident, when they're playing, having a lot of fun, we've seen this in the regular season, what, 4 or 5 years now. So it's finally about to pay off, it seems like, in the World Series. So I think I'm going to have to give my nod to the Dodgers.
Roger, we always appreciate your time. I would say good luck on Saturday, but you know I wouldn't mean it. Maybe sneak in a piece of orange apparel somewhere that doesn't cost you your job, but lets everybody know that that Tennessee's in your heart somewhere. But we appreciate the time. Look forward to catching
Thanks,
up
Roger.
With you again.
Yeah, thank you guys. Enjoyed it. Look forward to being back in Knoxville soon. I got some SEC Network games coming up, so I'll be back on Rocky Top before you guys know it. But thank you for having me on today.